Blog Talk Radio.
And a very good Friday to you on the FootballDieHards.com podcast. I'm Skip Lacombe, and it's Friday. That means Bob Harris, senior editor of FootballDieHards.com, is joining us. Bob, what's going on, man?
Not much. What do you know?
Oh, same old, getting into the fantasy playoffs. I fortunately have a bye this week, so, you know, I'm just kind of on cruise control, even though my quarterback, Peyton Manning, kind of lit things up last night.
Yeah, you kind of would have wished you could have took advantage of that. Not sure you'll get another chance.
Yeah, probably not. Well, let's go ahead and first talk about the game last evening before we take a look at the future as the Jags hosted the Colts last night.
Yeah, you know, you got to wonder what you're going to get out of the Colts the rest of the way. They're clinched. They've got everything on the roll. You know, it seems, just based on what we've seen so far, that maybe we can take Jim Caldwell at his word, or we can't. You know, it's just such a tricky thing because you won't know, you know, going into next week's game, you're really not going to know, just like last night's game, what you can really expect out of those guys. Now, we kind of suspected you'd get a little more last night than maybe pulling them early, but there was no pulling, there was no nothing. Everyone played, and everyone played to win. So, you know, it leaves some questions for next week, or at least some hope for next week, and we'll have to see what happens as the days preceding the game come up.
Yeah, and that really is the real question. You look at the Colts, which unfortunately there's not going to be much of an answer, as they did play most of the entire game last, but they needed to win the whole game. I don't know. They were never ahead by big. I guess if you see them jump out to an early lead, you might see them being sad.
Yeah, I think you can see that. And again, you know, look for who's healthy and who's not, and look for them to continue playing games with that. As you know, the injury report will certainly have 20 plus guys on it again every week. And you know, but hey, the game's a little later in the week this time, so we'll have more time to ponder, speculate, and figure things out.
Indeed. Taking a look at tomorrow's matchup, as we got Saturday football again, Cowboys and Saints. What are the injury notes for this one we need to know of?
You know, for this one, it looks like everyone's pretty much good to go for both teams. The big issue is going to be Jeremy Shockey. He's the only guy listed as questionable. Everyone else is probable. That includes Garrett Hartley, the kicker, who is a little bit of a worry, Mike Bell, Pierre Thomas. Looks like the Saints are kind of resting guys during the week and then playing them in the game. So looks like all hands on deck for the Cowboys. It is interesting that the Marcus Ware has not been ruled out, hasn't really practiced, but maybe he can make it back onto the field this week. If not, he'll be back next week. So that injury turns out not to be as bad as it looked like. Martellus Bennett, the tight end, is ruled out. So, you know, Jason Witten will continue to be the primary guy. Bennett was mostly working on two tight end sets, wasn't really a big factor in the passing attack.
What's really the thoughts on the Saints side in terms of how much confidence you can put in starting Drew Brees right now?
You know, I think I'd put as much as I would put in Manning, certainly this week. And, you know, the Saints are being more, you know, upfront and vocal about their desire to, you know, or at least the coaching staff more so than the players. So who knows? You know, maybe that's an elaborate ruse. I think this week, if I had any of the Saints, I'd be playing them. I think it could be a shootout game. The Cowboys' defense has been playing poorly. Cowboys' offense playing well. You know, both teams can score pretty well. I'm thinking we're going to see a pretty good shootout if everyone plays.
So start them all. Turning our attention to the Sunday games now. First one, Lions will be hosting the Cardinals. Injuries from this one, Bob?
You know, Larry Fitzgerald's going to be questionable. Sounds like he wants to play. Sounds like he's worked more each day. So that seems like he'll be available. But did they play him against the Lions? They got, you know, they were in the playoffs. So, you know, that's one you'll need to check up on Sunday morning. Neil Rackers will not play. Mike Nugent will kick in his place. Rackers has a groin issue. They want to get him healthy for the playoffs for sure. For the Lions, Matthew Stafford not playing. Dante Culpepper is in. So we'll see. You know, I wouldn't set my hopes too high. Calvin Johnson questionable, could be a game time decision. You know, at this point, it's getting really hard to play any of these guys. Kevin Smith is out, so we'll be seeing Maurice Morris at running back. Maybe you can catch a little lightning in a bottle there. People in a, you know, owners in a little bit of a desperation situation looking for a player who can come out of nowhere. Maurice Morris might be your guy this week.
And that really is the thought at this point. Of the only hope for the Lions and any real fantasy productivity is if they are able to catch that lightning in a bottle and a team that has nothing to lose, possibly going to the air a lot, making some big plays that way. But other than that, you don't really expect to see a lot of productivity.
I wouldn't expect a whole lot. And, you know, and the Cardinals have a lot of options in place in case Larry Fitzgerald can't go in their passing attack. So it's not like you should panic that Kurt Warner doesn't have all his weapons. I mean, they can do a number of things. Steve Breston can still be very effective. They'd probably bring Jeremy Irvin would be active, and they'd have early due setups too. So, you know, the Cardinals will still be able to get along without Fitzgerald. So that's one I'd be wary of. If I was a Fitzgerald owner, I'd make sure I had some options in place, and I'd check back in the hour leading up to kickoff to verify his game status.
All right, take a look at the next game. We're going to have the Jets hosting the Falcons. What's the injury report say about this one?
I think for the Falcons, the big story is Matt Ryan and Michael Turner, both guys very questionable. They both practiced on a limited basis the last 2 days. I'm not sure that'd be enough for me, you know, to sell me, or if I'd really want him on the field. If you recall the last time that Michael Turner tried to come back from his injury, he aggravated the injury and it had to leave early. So I think, you know, that's got to be a concern if you're dealing with either of these guys. And also, you know, with going against the Jets and Darrelle Revis, he shut down everybody so far this year. You have to wonder how much luck Roddy White's going to have either way, whoever his quarterback is, getting past Revis, who Rex Ryan is lobbying him for, you know, Defensive Player of the Year and saying he's better than, more important to the team than Ray Lewis was to the Ravens during his tenure in Baltimore. So, you know, it's a tough matchup for the offense of the Falcons. For the Jets, it's going to be everyone playing. Mark Sanchez is back. He has coming off a knee sprain. He'll wear braces on both knees. I don't think it'll really affect him. Falcons defense has not been all that great, so could be some points for them. I'd be playing Thomas Jones if I had him, that's for sure.
So inside of this matchup, who do you really like as far as Atlanta? I mean, anybody might be able to surprise some people. I mean, these teams match up fairly well. I mean, the Jets are going to obviously have the edge.
You know, not a lot of surprises, but I'm playing Tony Gonzalez. You know, I mean, he's a frontline guy. Redmond showed last week he can play, and he can pass effectively enough to make guys of some value. I think the big worry this time is who Revis is covering, and that'll probably be Roddy White.
All right, our next matchup, Baltimore is going to be fired up to be hosting the Bears. Injury notes from this one we need to know of.
Yeah, Devin Hester looks like he won't go. There's a lot of issues at receiver for both teams. It looks like Devin Hester won't go. Aroma Shadu will come in. Johnny Knox will play a bigger role. For the Ravens, we've got Mark Clayton probably not going to play. Kelly Washington, Dicey, they may be stuck with Demetrius Williams as a starter opposite Derek Mason. And that would mean Justin Harper plays a bigger role just up off the practice squad. He was very inconsistent, so I would expect heavy doses of Derek Mason, Ray Rice, and Todd Heap in the passing attack, and a heavy dose of Ray Rice all the way around. I think he's going to have he's in line for a good game. Going to be very snowy, big storm heading that way. They changed the game time because of the storm. Could have 6 inches of snow between now and the game, so that's something to watch for on Sunday, too, and something to, you know, figure in your calculations.
What are your thoughts inside of this match? I mean, Baltimore should really be fired up as they're fighting for their playoff lives at this point.
Yeah, I think so. And, the Bears have struggled. They haven't run the ball well. Their offensive line hasn't played well. Jay Cutler has struggled mightily. I think, you know, looking at the young receivers, that's, you know, giving them a ray of hope. But pretty much everyone else has been a major disappointment. So, you know, I do think the Ravens could have another big day. Not a big day like they did in Detroit last week. Wouldn't be looking for anything that big. But I'd be playing Ray Rice if I had him. Wouldn't be too scared to play Derek Mason. And Todd Heap, assuming the weather, you know, the weather has passed and they're just playing in the cold and the snow's on the ground.
All right, taking a look at our next matchup should be fairly interesting. It seems like almost every week we've had a game where it's been a 2-11 team versus a 3-10 team, or two bad teams that have given us one of the greatest performances of the week. Might we expect to see the same when the Browns visit Kansas City?
You know, there's never any telling with these teams. You know, you get these teams on the field and craziness can happen. The Browns have been playing effectively enough. You know, Brady Quinn's getting the ball in the air. They got some guys making plays. Evan Moore, the new tight end they promoted from the practice squad a couple of weeks ago, has proven to be, you know, pretty effective receiving threat for him. Chris Jennings has done a little bit. So, you know, there are guys there that if you're in a bind, hey, someone's going to be producing there. And I the Chiefs are not a big threat to stop anyone. The Browns have been a little tougher on defense, but the Chiefs can still make some plays, I think. And Dwayne Bowe is going to be back for Kansas City. Jamal Charles has been making plays, you know, pretty much the last 2 weeks, doing quite a good job. So, you know, I'm not sure I'd be wanting to play Matt Castle, but he is going to have a good target back. And so, you know, hey, again, if you're in one of those situations where you need somebody and you have nothing there, guys on bad teams do produce. It is possible.
Well, and what are your thoughts about Chris Chambers, too? Since I've gotten him, he's certainly been serviceable with the Chiefs. How does he match up inside of this specific game, you think?
You know, I'm a little worried about him with Bo coming back. You wonder how the roles are going to play out. And from everything we're hearing from the practice field, Bo turned up in pretty good shape, which was, you know, maybe the biggest question mark about him. So you wonder how the roles are going to shake out. Obviously, Chris Chambers has earned a right to stay on the field, but you wonder if they're not going to try and get Bo involved in the game. I mean, they've been hurting with playmakers. Chambers has been getting by. Jamal Charles has been doing most of the work. But they could use somebody to come in and give them a spark, and maybe they'll look for Bo a little more this week. So not so sold on Chambers right now.
All right, looking at our next matchup, we're going to have Green Bay visiting Pittsburgh. What does the injury report say about this one?
You know, I think the biggest deal for this one is, you know, Troy Polamalu is going to be out, and that defense has struggled without him. I mean, they've seemed lost, and so everyone's been faring pretty well. I think I'd be pretty happy going with all my Packers. Looks like all of them are going to be healthy enough for the Steelers. No real offensive injuries, so they're going to be at full strength, but they're going to be going against one of the tougher defenses in the league. And, you know, from what we've seen, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, whether he's holding the ball too long or whether guys can't get open and the coverage sacks are coming, I mean, he's getting hit a lot. He's getting drugged down a lot. The Packers are the kind of team that's going to give Pittsburgh some trouble, and the Packers' offense is the kind of offense that's going to trouble the Steelers. I mean, anyone who watched Bruce Gradkowski destroy that secondary, and Lewis Murphy combined to destroy that secondary, has to wonder what Aaron Rodgers, Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, and JerMichael Finley is going to be able to do to him. It could get ugly.
Now, Pittsburgh seemed to have been having a lot of trouble recently with their offensive line just being able to protect Ben. Is Green Bay going to be looking to exploit that, and can they?
Oh, absolutely, and they can. And they have, you know, I think they're the ideal kind of defense to exploit them, you know, with their blitzing, that 3-4 look. I think this could be trouble.
All right, our next matchup, Tennessee, and I just lost my screen. Dolphins and Titans is going to be the next matchup. What do the injury reports say about this one?
Looks like everyone's healthy on the Dolphins. Devon Best hurt his ankle last week. He's practiced all week. Not an issue for any of those guys being hurt. For the Titans, Vince Young has been limited all week with the knee and the hamstring problems. He's listed as questionable, but he practiced today. I would say he's going to play. Sounds like he's going to play. Nobody on the Titans thinks that he's going to sit this one out. I don't think he's going to sit this one out either. But, you know, the real story here. Oh, and Nate Washington is questionable with sore ankle, which is kind of interesting because Justin Gage is getting back to full health. And they're having a hard time getting Kenny Britt off the field. I think they'd like to keep him on. This could be an excuse to get a couple of the bigger guys out there and maybe bring Washington in off the bench. As far as the matchups and the, you know, playing, hey, Chris Johnson's the big story here. I mean, that's the guy everyone wants to be playing. He's what makes that offense tick. And for the Dolphins, I think you're looking at Ricky Williams in the rushing attack again. But hey, as you well know, Chad Henne can get it done if you need him to.
You know, I was going to have to ask my obligatory Chad Henne question. I think this is actually an interesting matchup inside both of the quarterbacks, who have kind of had to adjust to this team throughout midseason. The teams have had to kind of adjust to them.
Yeah, I think both these offenses have evolved, but I think the Titans have had to evolve a little less, just because, you know, when you have a weapon like.
Chris Johnson.
I mean, it's impossible for the other team to really deal with everything. I mean, the focus goes on him because he's the guy that, you know, you stop the guy who can beat you, and he's been the guy who can beat you. So, you know, that opens things up a little more for Vince Young in the passing attack, and I think it'll continue to do so.
All right, our next matchup has the Bills hosting the Patriots. What does the injury report say about this one?
You know, there's a little bit of trickery here. Terrell Owens has gotten some illness, or hasn't practiced the last few days because of illness. He's questionable. You'll have to check with him at the game time. For the Patriots, Tom Brady was actually listed as probable this week. Good sign. He's had the finger, the ribs, the knee, you know, all the shoulder, all the issues he's had. Should be in better shape this week. The rest of the injury report, Fred Taylor could return, listed as questionable. Julian Edelman, Sam Aiken, Benjamin Watson, also questionable. I suspect, you know, they're all bit players. The guys we're interested here, Brady, Maroney, Randy Moss, and that's the big storyline this week. You know, has Randy Moss been dogging it? Can they get him back in the game? I have one issue with this. You know, the Bills' secondary has been playing pretty good ball, so, you know, this is not going to be a piece-of-cake game. They've got a lot of interceptions, and they're pretty disruptive, so... And, you know, if we're all looking for one of those classic bounce-back games, it's going to have to come up against a pretty tough team. I would expect Wes Welker still have a good game, but he's having trouble scoring. So they really need Moss to start delivering some big plays. For the Bills, you know, right now Fred Jackson seems to be playing as well as anybody. I think, you know, he's the most consistent threat on the team. Marshawn Lynch has put up some numbers last game, but overall he's been a little less consistent than you like. And the same can be said of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Inconsistent would be putting it kindly.
Well, you know, the Bills, too, have been doing much better since their coaching changes. They seem to be more loose, more willing to take some risks. Do you think we see that this weekend?
Yeah, I think they have to. You know, I don't think they have any choices. They need to get things on track, and that's about the only way they can do it.
All right, pretty good matchup next. We're going to have the Eagles hosting the 49ers. Everybody healthy from this one?
Yeah, you know, we're going to have the same thing with the Eagles. We're going to have Jeremy Maclin is going to be out this week. Brian Westbrook's not going to play. They're going to bring Reggie Brown is going to be the starter in Macklin's place. Kevin Curtis could play. I think, DeSean Jackson's the big story there, and he should continue to be the big story for them in terms of, of what they need to get, getting the ball down the field, big plays in the passing attack and in the special teams game. I think he'll have another big game against the 49ers. Their speed of the Eagles matches up well with the 49ers defense. And so for the 49ers, pretty much everyone healthy, everyone of importance, Frank Gore listed as probable. You wonder if they're going to, maybe focus on the run a little more. They seem to have some luck with it last week, so a little less spread set, maybe a little more forcing Gore down the Eagles' throats. I think the Eagles' defense is kind of set up to handle the passing attack pretty well.
Yeah, that actually looks to be a pretty interesting matchup. I think that's going to be quite the game itself. Our next matchup is going to have a very pathetic St. Louis team hosting the Texans. What are the thoughts from the injury report on this one?
This one's getting ugly because the Rams are having a swine flu issue this week. All of a sudden, Kyle Bowler is affected by it. Steven Jackson is affected by it. And he's already hurting with a bad back. So you have to wonder, how effective he can be. The Texans are not the most formidable opponent, but, going at them both hurt and ill is not good. Brandon Gibson also has a touch of that sickness. So that's something you're going to have to watch right up through kickoff. Looks like Keith Noll will start for the Rams again for the Texans. I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Arian Foster at halfback, and that's going to be interesting. I think he's going to get he may even get the bulk of the carries. I mean, they're looking for something. They're the worst rushing attack in the league. Can't seem to get on track. Chris Brown hasn't been the answer. Ryan Moats hasn't been the answer. He's been fumbling. So I think we'll see a good dose of Arian Foster, but in the end, you want anybody involved with that passing attack you want on the field for you this week. That's Matt Schaub, Andre Johnson, Kevin Walter, heck, Joel Dreesen if you're in a bind at tight end. So, I think this could, the Rams are not playing well. They don't have a lot of going on offense, so they can't keep the other team off the field. I think this could be an ugly game.
Is there anybody inside of St. Louis you'd be comfortable with starting?
No, not comfortable at all. I mean, I could start Steven Jackson if I had to, and I knew he was going to be playing. But you're going to have to check in the hour leading up to kickoff. The report out of St. Louis today is that all his teammates expect him to play. I expect him to play too. But at some point, you wonder how he's playing with a herniated disc. Now he's playing with a possible case of swine flu. Is he really going to be able to keep getting the job done? The offensive line keeps getting thinner. They cut Richie Incognito, who, had some anger management issues. They're playing with an offensive, a pair of guards that are very inexperienced. I think it's going to be a tough game for them.
All right, our next game appears to be a pretty emotional one and a pretty good one as Cincinnati travels to San Diego to play the Chargers. Now, Cincinnati lost Chris Henry earlier in this year, so we expect to see lots of a celebration of him in that maybe moment of silence type things. Might this fire up Cincinnati?
You would hope so, but at some point you wonder how many blows a team like this can take. It seems like, they lost the wife of defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer, Vicky Zimmer, and they kind of came back and it seemed to strengthen their resolve. This one, if you listen to reports from practice, they seem to be very downcast. Chad Ochocinco wants to vote where Chris Henry's number 15. The league doesn't want him to. Is that going to be an issue? I mean, there's so many things that can be a distraction in this one. I'm a little bit worried. I think once the teams hit the field, the Bengals will play hard and everything, but you wonder how much their preparation has suffered in advance of this one. That's, I guess, my biggest worry. And it's not an easy game. Chargers are playing very good football. So, at the risk of saying exploded, but the Chargers are in a good, it's at home. They're on a roll. Their offense is playing great. And the Bengals, they might catch them a little down. Could be a big week for the Chargers.
Everybody healthy from this game, though, primarily?
Yeah, everyone's pretty much healthy. I think for both, in terms of both offenses, Bernard Scott, I'm not sure he's coming back this week in terms of offense, but he should be available to do kicks. So, yeah, everyone's healthy. I'd lean more heavily on the Chargers than I would on the Bengals this week. That's just my thought. The passing attack in Cincinnati has not been working well. You could still start Cedric Benson. I think he's a solid play every week, but I'm not. My expectations for the passing attack are not high.
All right, take a look at our next matchup. Charlie Fry and his Raiders are going to be traveling to Denver to play the Broncos. What are the injury notes from this one?
Well, you got to wonder about this one. The Bruce Gradkowski is going to be out, and Charlie Fry is starting at quarterback, and it's his first start since 2007. What do you say about this one? You say the same thing about that you said when Bruce Gradkowski came in. How is he possibly going to succeed? Well, he's going to work hard. He's going to be a fiery leader. He's going to get the ball out of his hand and down the field, and that's how he can succeed. So if Charlie Fry can duplicate some of the same things that Bruce Gradkowski did, and they are a similar type of quarterbacks. They both move around a lot more than Jamarcus Russell. Anything is possible. But the big problem for him, he's going to be without Zach Miller. It looks like tight end has concussion. Looks like he won't go. Listed as questionable. Darius Hayward Bay won't be there. That hasn't been a big issue. They need just more big plays from the running game. They need some. They're going to need some big plays at wide receiver. I wouldn't get my hopes up on either on for any of that. I'm a little bit skeptical of the Charlie Fry era. For the Broncos, it looks like Coral Buckhalter is doubtful. So it's going to be the Minoshaw Marino show pretty much exclusively in the backfield. Everyone else is healthy. I'd be playing my Broncos if I got them.
Yeah, might this be a pretty big game for the Broncos?
I think it could be a pretty big game for the Broncos. You know, hey, the Raiders defense, you know, the one thing they do pretty well is they pass defense pretty well. And so, you know, that is one of the strengths of the Broncos. I don't see anyone stopping Brandon Marshall anytime soon. So I think I'd be playing all those guys if I got them.
All right, next up we got the Buccaneers heading to play the Seahawks. What do the injury reports say about this one, Bob?
You know, on this one there's a little bit of worry in Tampa Bay that Kellen Winslow is not going to be ready. He didn't practice today after practicing some yesterday. So you wonder if that's a setback. They're not saying anything. A lot of times for the Buccaneers, especially when they're making a long trip like this, they'll leave guys at home so they don't have to fly them on the plane. Michael Clayton's not going to play the wide receiver. Maurice Stovall will continue to start there. Otherwise, everyone else is pretty healthy for the Seahawks. They made some big changes to the offensive line. Nate Burleson will not be playing. He has a high ankle sprain, so we're going to see Deion Branch moving to the starting lineup. The matchup-wise, neither of these teams looks like they're much capable of really stopping anyone, you know, anytime real soon. So in terms of the passing attack, I wouldn't mind playing Matt Hasselbeck if I was in a bind. T.J. Hujmanzada, maybe John Carlson can rebound a little bit. The Buccaneers haven't been able to stop anyone on the ground either, so maybe this is the week Julius Jones can get you some points and Justin Forsett. So I think those are all good plays for the Buccaneers. You know, Josh Freeman, hey, he can get the ball down the field, and when he hits the guy in the right uniform, especially if it's Antonio Brown, good things can happen. So, you know, cross your fingers. And, again, if you're in one of those situations where you're in a horrible bind, Josh Freeman will be on the field. You know that. And he has a good receiver in Antonio Brown, the guy that can make plays for him.
All right. Taking a look at our next matchup, the Panthers are going to be hosting the Vikings. Everybody healthy from this one?
You know, this is going to be a dicey one. For the Panthers, Jake Delhomme is out. Matt Moore is going to start. Again, Jonathan Stewart had a bad toe. He's going to play this week. List his problem. Mohsin Mohamed's fine, too. So, you know, as far as that goes, they're in reasonably good health. I don't know if Jake Delhomme would be starting even if he was healthy. Vikings, there's some question marks. You know, Brett Favre's fine. Adrian Peterson's fine. But Percy Harvin's having problems with the migraines. He's been having problems all week. He did get out a little bit on the practice field today, listed as questionable. Hopes to play, but it's just going to depend on if the migraines are an issue when the kickoff comes. And, you know, they don't know what triggers them, and so that could be an issue. It's something you need to watch. Sidney Rice had an illness this week. He's also listed as questionable, but it sounds like he'll be ready to go. Bernard Berrien and Vincente Shanko both listed as probable. I think they're good to go. This one you're going to need to watch. You know, if your guys are playing, you want them on the field, I think, this week. The Panthers, you know, they aren't one of the most formidable defenses in the league, and so if you've got playmakers on the Vikings and they're going to be on the field, get them on the field.
All right, I have a feeling you're not going to like this, but is it too early for the Brett Favre in 2010 talk?
You know what? It's never too early for Brett Favre talk. I think right now, after all the skepticism I met him with during the early part of the summer and all offseason, hey, I was one of the bigger naysayers. And, you know, I'm pretty cynical. I've been pretty cynical of Brett Favre, and he's proved me wrong, and he's made me look silly in doing it. And fortunately, I'm not alone in that regard. There's plenty of us out there who misread this one. And I think it's, you know, a lot of it's been, hey, how have they managed Brett Favre? They've been, you know, he knew the offense. You know, we knew that coming in. He knew the offense and he could be effective in it. The Vikings do have some playmakers. I don't think any of us foresaw what Percy Harvin might add to things, but he did add something in. So I just, you know, I think, no, it's not too early to talk. And I think he'll be back, you know, assuming nothing happens over the last couple of weeks and they make a good playoff run. Or even if they don't make a strong playoff run, I think
Favre. See, that was the question I had. Is assuming they win, like, the Super Bowl, is it more likely or less likely he comes back next year?
I think more likely. I don't think he can get enough of this. You know, when things are going well, it's awful easy to enjoy it and to want to keep doing it. And you know, and I think it's gone well enough. I guess that we're at the point this year where it's gone well enough that I don't think, you know, that they're going to want to stop. I think they're going to want to keep doing it either way.
Or at least he'll retire until the end of training camps, right?
Exactly.
All right. Our final matchup of the week has the Redskins hosting the Giants. So what do the injury reports say about this one, Bob?
You know, in terms of the Redskins, everyone's pretty healthy, and they've been on a little bit of a roll. You got Jason Campbell ready to play. You got they're going to keep going with Quentin Ganther. You're going to have Devin Thomas. He's been making some plays. Fred Davis has been making some plays. Santana Moss will be going. So it's a pretty good matchup. And, you know, the Giants aren't that good against tight ends. So if you got Fred Davis, he can. There's no reason to believe he can't keep his role going that he's had going on. For the Giants, looks like everyone's going to play Ahmad Bradshaw. You know, still dealing with the same ankle and foot issues. Mario Manningham had an illness this week, or last couple days. But looks like he'll be back. But he has lost his starting job to Hakeem Nicks, who looks like he was finally emerging as kind of big playmaker that everyone needed him to be. You know, those that don't fall through his hands, he takes a long ways. So I would look for that to continue. And Manningham needs to maybe get a little more discipline on his route running and run him a little closer to the middle of the field would be kind of helpful. And maybe he'll get some more playing time. In the meantime, you know, if you have the Giants, I think, you know, Brandon Jacobs is a decent play. Ahmad Bradshaw remains a decent play. Steve Smith in point for reception leagues is still a great play. Eli Manning, you know, you don't want to roll with him. But, yeah, unless you have Jason Campbell, who might be one of the better plays. We have him ranked in the top 10 this week, and there's good reason for it. He's been playing that way. And that kind of coincides, interestingly enough, with another thing we were all cynical about, Sherman Lewis coming back as offensive coordinator. There was a guy that was going from calling bingo to calling plays in a matter of days, and that's all worked out pretty well. Now, one thing in Washington, there is some distractions going on there. The team's vice president of personnel, Vinny Serrato, resigned. They hired Bruce Allen to be the general manager, and right now they're supposedly in talks with Mike Shanahan to maybe become the head coach. So there's a lot going on in Washington, so there may be a little bit of a distraction there, although I think the players can get past it.
All right, so taking a look at this week as a whole, who is out there right now possibly considering the injuries that are out on some of these teams, considering the fact that some of these players may be getting rested? Who might you be able to pick up if you are being dealt with one of these injuries or knowing that your guy is just not going to go?
You know, I think when, you know, one of the teams I'm looking at is Washington. You know, there's you know, I've talked to a number of people this week who were looking to get, you know, to pick up guys and said, oh, well, Fred Davis is available on your waiver wire. A lot of leagues, Fred Davis is still flying under the radar. Guys, you know, there's less teams looking for people. So if you can grab a guy like that, Quentin Ganther might be a decent play. But Jason Campbell's really a guy that's still available in a lot of leagues because everyone's been going with their frontline guys. Well, he's slowly emerged as a frontline producer over the last few weeks. I would say Antonio Bryant's another guy, too, still probably more overlooked than he should be. He's been very productive, except for last week when he was going against Revis. That hurt him a little bit. So I think, you know, guys like that are who I'd be looking for. Maybe some of these guys on the not-so-good teams. Dwayne Bowe coming back might be a guy that people have let go and kind of forgot of. So if he's floating around, maybe you want to take a chance on him. But, you know, in all these cases, these guys are a little risk. They're not playing on good teams. They're playing on teams that, you know, don't produce consistently, and that's always the biggest worry. You'd like to have consistent producers on the field, but, you know, if you're in a position where you have a hole to fill, those are the kind of guys to look for.
All right, well, the Flash update is up and running right now, so be sure to keep refreshing that every 12 or so seconds. Or you can just go ahead and sign up for the texts from Bob himself. Go to the settings page under Football Diehards and set up. You can do it based off a player, based off a team, or be like me and just get everything sent to you. Isn't that right, Bob?
I get them all, too.
It's just fun. It's fun. Well, be sure to keep checking that as we go through this week's games to make sure your players are going to be playing, and you can make the changes if you need to. Until then, we'll be back on Wednesday with Michael for the with Mike Jones with the Waiver Wire Report. But this has been the Friday Football Diehards.com podcast.